A couple of weeks ago, I woke from a Sunday afternoon power nap to find a black spot on my arm. And I thought it was a piece of mud until I tried to pick it off and it wouldn't come. And then I noticed it had legs and it was moving. And it was obviously sucking my blood. I did what any man would do, which is I got in my car and I drove to St. Peter's A&E as fast as I could. And I kept looking at it as I was driving, and it was wriggling, and I had this vision of it gradually disappearing into my flesh, like in the film Alien. But then I remembered I was preaching on this passage this morning. Don't be anxious about anything, Stephen, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I just drove a bit faster. And I got there. And I spent 2 hours waiting, looking at this darn thing wriggling on my arm, and I eventually the nurse saw me, and she said, "Oh, I've had several of those myself," and she'd obviously taken them out herself. So I had confidence in this lady, but then she didn't have the right equipment to take it out, and I offered her my tweezers off my Boy Scout knife, and that wasn't good enough. And anyway, she came back with this implement, and she pulled the head off. She pulled the body off. She didn't twist it as she's supposed to do. She pulled the body off and left the head inside me. So she called the doctor. This skilled surgeon came with his magnifying glass and his scalpel, and he performed microsurgery on my wrist, and he removed the head. He cleaned the wound. He was insistent that I could see there was no bits left inside me. And that was where the Thanksgiving came in. And then they gave me a prescription, a heavy dose of antibiotics for what they called Lyme disease. So I came home and I did what you shouldn't do, which is I went on the internet and I checked out Lyme disease. If you don't know what Lyme disease, you don't want to know. But it's worse than malaria. I thought you might benefit from it. It attacks the brain, it attacks the heart, it goes through your vital organs, and it significantly shortens your life, although it deforms your anatomy along the way. And so I remembered this verse. Don't be anxious about anything, Stephen, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And I took the prescription, and God answered my prayer, I hope. Although it may be purely coincidental, but in the last week or so, I've left my iPad in the Archdeacon's home in Ripley. Then I left my laptop with my mother in Lowestoft, and then my Fitbit Flex fitness wristband. I don't know where it's gone, but I've lost it. And then I remembered that I should not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving present my request to God. And then on Thursday, I lost Dilly. I lost Dilly in the woods, and she would not come back. And I called her, and I whistled, and I shouted, and I retraced my steps. And for 15 long minutes, I was working out what I was going to say to Joanna. And then she came home, and I gave thanks for this verse. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Well, that's been my week. What's yours been like? Have you had any sleepless nights? I would advise you to check your skin in the future if you go in the woods at all. Apparently, there's an epidemic of ticks at the moment in this area, but don't let that worry you. But whatever it is that's kept you awake at night, whatever you've had on your heart or your mind this week, it's appropriate that today, in our series looking at the privileges of church membership, we address the second in our series, to be regular in private prayer day by day. It's a privilege, but it's a responsibility, because there is no greater antidote to worry than a conversation with the Lord. So please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, and let's observe and learn the value of prayer. And there is an outline. You should have a copy. If you don't, please pick one up on your way out, and then next week pick one up on your way in, and then you'll have it to work on with the sermon. I want us to observe the reason for praying regularly, the rhythm of praying regularly, and the result of praying regularly. Let's look at the verses again together. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, or excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you've learnt or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Philippians 4:4-9. Let's notice, first of all, the reason for praying regularly. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. See, it's a command. Do not be anxious. When we're anxious, we're disobeying God. What is anxiety? The word in the Greek means to be pulled in different directions. That's what it means to be anxious. What is it that pulls us in different directions? People's expectations, our own expectations, the way we've been brought up to do things, our hopes, our fears, our conscience, the scriptures. They can all pull us in different directions. Worry literally pulls us apart. And the Old English word is even more graphic. The Old English word for worry means to strangle, to throttle. Isn't that what it feels like when you are really worried, paralyzed from the neck down? It really has physical consequences, doesn't it? Headaches, neck pains, ulcers, indigestion, nausea. Even our coordination is affected when we are anxious or worried. When Paul says don't worry about anything, he means everything. Because in everything, we should pray. So worry is forbidden. Because from a spiritual point of view, worry is a sin. Worry, when we worry, we're saying to God, "God, you're not big enough to handle this one. I'll deal with this one." And we have a go. And we fail. And it's not good enough just to say, "Stop worrying." You know, when you're told to stop doing something, what do? You're thinking about it. No, worry is an inside job. It takes more than good intentions or positive mental attitude to overcome it. The antidote to worry is prayer. The antidote to worry is regular prayer. And if anyone had any excuse for worrying, it was Paul. Paul was in prison. Not the kind of prison you'd want to be in. And he had no idea of how long he was going to live. And he had the worries of the churches to think about. He had every reason to worry. As you and I do too. You know the definition of a pessimist? Pessimist is an optimist with information. But if we're to conquer worry and experience a secure mind, we pray. Pray regularly. That's the reason we pray. Secondly, notice the rhythm to pray regularly. Last week I spent some time with my Muslim friends. And when you're around Muslims and you realize that they stop to pray 5 times during the day, you realize it creates a rhythm in their life. And when you're around them, something of that rhythm, you know, if they've gone off to pray, what do? Well, I think I'll pray as well. Paul uses 3 different words to describe how we should talk to God. And they provide a rhythm in our prayers. First is praise. Verse 5. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I say again, rejoice." Meaning, always rejoice. 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 That word prayer there means adoration, devotion, worship. You see, prayer must begin not with petition, our shopping list. It begins with praise, because we're reminded of who it is we're talking to. A while ago, I was visiting a local school, and I noticed the children addressed the head teacher, "Sir." You know, it's refreshing. I think it's a good idea because it shows respect. It reminds them who they're speaking to. You know, when we find ourselves worrying, our first action should be to be alone with God and worship Him. Focus on Him, not our problems. Dwell on His greatness, His beauty, His majesty. We begin worrying when we forget who we're related to. So instead of rushing into His presence with our list of requests, the first step is calmly and in deepest reverence to praise Him, to adore Him. And then Paul uses the word petition. Let your requests be made known. Petition. And this is no place for half-hearted or general prayers. Lord, bless me. Bless my friends. Bless my family. The word petition has with it a sense of urgency, intensity, and specificity, concern. When people came to Jesus, what was one of the most frequent questions He asked them? What was it? What do you want me to do for you? Be specific. It's helpful to have that question on minds when we pray. And to avoid prayer becoming monotonous, for many years I've found a very simple but systematic way, because that's the way I am, to have that rhythm in my prayer life. I'm sure you can improve on this. You can personalize it. But a system is better than having no system. So at Sundays, focus on the family. Monday, you begin to think about work. So focus on the community. Tuesday, focus on evangelism, the opportunities we have to share Christ. Wednesday, pray for our church family and that we'll be built up and nurtured. Thursday, maybe a day to focus on leaders. Friday, mission. Think Friday, think mission. Saturday, we're thinking about Sunday, praying for our services, our musicians and singers, our Sunday clubs. And today, you receive what I hope will be the first of many monthly prayer guides. We've taken the prayer requests that we use on First Wednesday, and we've certainly put them into a leaflet so that you can use it during the month to pray for children, youth, student, adults, operations, and then on the back, our mission focus of the month, DAI. Please use it in your prayers so that we can pray for one another, for our ministry, for our mission as a church. And then the third word Paul uses is thanksgiving. Our Heavenly Father enjoys hearing us say thank you. If you're a parent, you know what joy it brings your heart when your child, without prompting, says thank you. Or your partner says thank you. It's a sign of trust, sign of appreciation. You know, too often we're eager to ask and slow to appreciate. You know, when we forget His provision in the past, we're likely to doubt His faithfulness in the future. That's why God told the Israelites to put the pile of stones for all to see as they cross the river, so that the kids would say, "What are those stones there? Ah, don't you remember how God delivered us?" As we give thanks for His provision in the past, we're more likely to trust Him for the future. Paul uses three words: praise, petition, and thanksgiving. But if you want a grip on worry on your week, then use all five fingers: praise, thanksgiving, intercession, petition for yourself, and then confession. Again, there's a copy on the outline there. The reason for praying regularly: anxiety. The rhythm of praying regularly: diversity, the result of praying regularly. What is the result of praying regularly? The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, goes beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, it's like, I don't know how this thing works, but I'm glad it does. You know, we don't know how God answers our prayers, but we trust Him. It gives us peace. That's our incentive. It's our motivation for praying regularly. Instead of anxiety, we experience victory. Instead of panic, we experience peace. And notice that word guard. It is what it says on the tin. It's a military word. It's a military word. It describes a garrison of soldiers. God is literally guarding your heart when you intercede, when you come to Him in prayer. I had peace last week. I'm sure it was because some of you were praying for me. Certainly preparing for this sermon. God gave me ultimate peace, despite the darn tick, despite my aging forgetfulness, despite Dilly's waywardness. He gave me peace because in prayer I gave over my worries to Him. The secret is not prayer. I hate that phrase, the power of prayer, because it turns prayer into a magical technique. You know, if you pray in this way, God will act. No, it's not the power of prayer. It's the power of God that we experience when we listen to Him and when we talk to Him. We experience the power of God when we pray. We experience the peace of God when we pray. But above all, we experience the presence of God when we pray. And knowing the peace of God doesn't mean the absence of conflict. It doesn't take away the pain. But it means we have a quiet confidence on the inside. You know, in Britain we take for granted the privilege of being able to pray. You know, people may laugh at you, but you can pray anywhere, anytime, any place. But in many countries, Christians are liable to be arrested, tortured, imprisoned if they are caught praying together publicly. I'm sure they can identify with the prophet Daniel, who found peace in prayer. When King Darius announced that his subject should only pray before a statue of himself, what did Daniel do? He had every reason to be anxious. What did he do? Nothing different. When he learned about the decree, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open towards Jerusalem, and three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Daniel 6, verse 10. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. And verse 18 tells us that while Daniel had a good night's sleep, tucked up in the soft, warm bed of lions, King Darius was in his palace with luxury, and he couldn't eat and he couldn't sleep. If you can't sleep tonight, remember Daniel's example and remember Philippians chapter 4. And the reason for praying regularly? Our anxiety. The rhythm of praying regularly, diversity. And the result of praying regularly is victory. Let's pray together. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds safe in the knowledge and love of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, as we learn to be faithful in prayer. Amen.